2025 Guardians, whatever happened there. Oh boy. How you doing?
What's going on, Kenny?
So I didn't know where to begin. I didn't know where to finish yesterday. It's just it hits you dead on. Yesterday afternoon, you know, I'm getting in the rigmarole of Gardo's, and we're talking about, hey, you know, do they have a chance in the Central? And then this Emmanuel Classe stuff happens, and I go, I can't believe what I'm reading. I can't believe it's going on. And then, you know, there's other things going on with this team about trades, and Ken Rosenthal has a report, and it's just it's just a terrible, terrible, terrible situation here. So Emmanuel Classe has been placed on non-disciplinary paid leave per an agreement with the Players Association. This is a quote from Bart Swain of the Guardians. We have been informed that no additional players or club personnel are expected to be impacted. The Guardians are not permitted to comment further at this time and will respect the league's confidential investigative process as we continue to fully cooperate. Well, they did comment a little bit further there, as Chris Antonetti and Stephen Vogt certainly answered about these sort of things, as you heard there in the open. Jeff Passan issued a report about it. Here's Jeff Passan, ESPN.
He was placed on non-disciplinary paid leave today after he was caught up in the sports betting investigation Major League Baseball is doing. On July 3rd, his teammate Luis Ortiz was put on non-disciplinary paid leave as well after gambling operators found that there was unusual betting activity on two pitches he had thrown, one June 15th and June 27th, rather. Pitches that there was unusual activity that he was going to throw a ball. Both of those pitches were out of the strike zone. It's unclear at this point what the ties with Emmanuel Classe and the investigation are, but the Guardians put out a statement that said they have no thought that there are going to be other players who are going to be tied up in this.
Well, I certainly hope not. I mean, this is starting to turn into something that looks like the Black Sox scandal of 1919, for crying out loud. It's just not in the World Series. But my God, reaction is shock. What?
Yeah, well, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked that...
I don't know how you're not shocked.
Two pitches from one player, and obviously we don't know the extent of the Class A stuff. Like, I always expected some players to be doing this. Did you not? With a million different bets that you can make on a game. We saw this in basketball. We've seen a few players that have been roped into it. But you brought up the Black Sox scandal. I'm on ESPN.com. It's not one of the top... It's not one of the top 15 stories.
Well, I thought the first thought you would have would be something that turns into, like, my God, how many guys are doing this? And then they have their report there that says that there's nobody else that's included in this, which makes you feel a little bit better about it. I mean, I had several thoughts go right into my mind. I plan on getting them out here over the next 4 hours, if that's okay. Yeah. I'm just telling you my initial reaction to it.
I didn't think you'd get mad at me.
I was just commenting.
So I did wonder how big of a deal this was, because... The first one, when we hear two pitches, like there was a regular betting for two pitches, right?
This is for Luis Ortiz.
Yes, this is for Ortiz. And then you hear that and, you know, a part of me is inclined to say, just like in the NBA thing when it was Malik Beasley and I see highlights of him playing really hard in the final 10 seconds of a blowout, I'm like, oh, when I bet on things, if I'm betting on things, I have to know that it can be manipulated by athletes doing this. Where this one, Kenny, is definitely a bigger deal. This is a closer coming in at the end of a game that can definitely change whether or not can impact the outcome of a game just based on, especially, man, come playoff time, when we say every pitch is life or death. If you get behind the hitters, that's the end. That could be the end. That could be the end of your team's game. That could be the end of the playoff.
Yeah.
So that's where it absolutely could be a huge deal. We just don't know the extent. Right now, I'm guessing that they haven't... I think we would have already heard if it were playoff games or anything like that. So far, we don't know. We don't know the extent of this. We don't know if all of a sudden where it becomes, my God, the Black Sox scandal is if we've got the entire rotation or the entire battery or the entire... that's when it gets enormous. It's just far too early to tell, where right now all my buddies are just joking about it. There were jokes. And then last night during the Rockies game, there were jokes when, you know, Tyler Freeman was coming through late in that game.
Who was the one joking?
Just my text threads. My okay, text threads. They didn't seem to be outraged.
It made it sound for a second like the broadcast was joking. I go,
no.
I'd be very surprised about that.
Like, they didn't seem to be outraged. It was more like, hey, this is this season. Now we're looking back, looking at everything, knowing that it probably isn't every situation. It's not like everything's been manipulated. It's just hard to know until the investigation in Major League Baseball gives us a little more accurate information
than
what was flown around the internet last
night. Exactly. So we don't know. We don't have a lot of information right now. So I think a lot of people go to the absolute worst case scenario. So that's why I thought, I go, well, if it's Emmanuel Clase, how many other pitchers could possibly be involved in this? And then, of course, the speculation started. Well, he was terrible in the postseason last year. Was there something in the postseason last year where he might have been throwing games, allegedly, or something like that?
The guy was unhittable all season, then gave up 8 earned runs in 8 innings. And 4 of his appearances in the playoffs, 4 of 7.
I don't know. The way he reacted on social media would tell me that he was not acting as if he was okay, or just trying to be quiet with giving up these, getting shelled in the postseason. Yes, Owen?
Do your text friends, your betting friends, do they care about the Guardians, or do they only care about sports bets?
They care about sports bets.
Yeah, both. I would say both.
Because the people I know that care about the Guardians, the guys that are standing with me in the outfield every night, that are paying, I know it's only $50 a month, but that's a lot to us.
Yeah, right? They're upset.
I'm pretty pissed off about the whole deal.
But
my family's pretty pissed off about the whole deal. My kids are pretty pissed off about
the whole
deal.
So what did they say? That's interesting to me, because it seems like most Guardians fans have just been mad the whole year.
It felt like we're finally turning a corner on things. The schedule's lining up for us. We got the deadline coming up on Thursday. And now you throw this in the face, and it's like, well, there goes the season.
Well, there is a weird, creepy, logical explanation to some of this, which I'll get to, because it's you're talking about speculation that's floating around the internet, so I'm hesitant to even share some of the crazy stuff that's been going around. I mean, you got this Hector Gomez guy who covers Major League Baseball, and he's saying that more people could have been involved, and those are unsubstantiated reports. So and this is a guy who has a very large following, a director of communications in Major League Baseball.
100,000 followers.
I can't, but I'm looking at something that's unsubstantiated, so I'm not going to really touch it on that. I'm going to go by what the statement said. Major League Baseball told the Guardians there, if something more comes on it, then fine. I'll hammer the Guardians even more, because I'm going to say, you told us all that more people weren't going to be involved, and here we got more people involved. So they better have their ducks in an order over at the corner of Carnegie and Ontario. But I think for a general fan, I mean, if you got buddies who are just gambling on baseball, I mean, I can't help it that degenerates are going to make jokes about it during the regular season. But Owen's exactly right. You have a fan base that is either A, they aren't the biggest baseball fans in the world, and this is something to do between basketball season and the NFL, and they're not real big fans anyway, and it just gives them more of a reason to go after the Dolans, because there's been a million Dolans jokes that have been thrown out there here over the last 18 hours. The other part of it is that they're hardcore fans and they want the team to win, and you're coming off an ALCS appearance, and now we have this going on where now these guys might not even be to it, and you don't even know the original extent of everything that goes on. Oh, and by the way, the guy who's supposed to replace him, that people did want to replace him with at the beginning of the season, got blown up again last night.
Yeah.
A safe situation.
And not only that, it was a former Guardians player that you traded for.
300 that played right field, and we can't get one of those to save our lives right now.
That adds the insult to injury. So Chris Antonetti did speak, even though they said they'd have no further comment. Chris Antonetti did speak. There wasn't much he could really say. He does say they hope to get answers before the end of next month.
What I know is that the suspensions are in place through August 31st. And then we'll have to see where things are at that point. Obviously, for everyone, I think we'd prefer to have clarity sooner rather than later. But I recognize it's a complicated issue, and Major League Baseball has a number of steps they need to work through to complete that investigation.
Well, you can't call them suspensions, can you? It's non-disciplinary paid leave. Now, that's a long way to say suspension, but
baseball absolutely needs to clarify as much as possible. So I believe Antonetti there. Like, I think they're frustrated, because I think he's feeling the pressure. Owen, I imagine they got some calls last night. I imagine, you know, the ticket office also got some calls. I imagine they've been feeling that heat from people that want to know, is any of this real? Like, and again, I'm saying, like, the stuff that I've seen online, and it's a lot of first pitches. Here's a montage of first pitches, even though in this case, we don't know what the prop bets were. We don't know what has actually been gambled on and where the irregularities, because all of these kind of start where irregularities begin. That's how the NBA, at least, it worked. And that's how it was triggered, you know, in the first scenario. So you imagine that a bunch of bets came in and these guys all think, and again, innocent until proven guilty. So I can't speak for Class A, but these guys all think they can get away with it. It's almost like baseball and basketball and the NFL have to continually tell these guys, you will get caught. It's not a question of, hey, can you be smart enough to game the system? Like, you're going to get caught. Because if anybody's actually making money on any of this, it's going to trigger all sorts of alarms for the sports books, who in turn will trigger the leagues and then will be investigated and it's a federal crime. So it can be a pretty big deal.
It's made it worse where Chris Antonetti was asked about the impact of the trade deadline approaching.
It's a lot of information to process. You know, I think what we know is that, you know, two very good pitchers aren't going to be available to pitch for us, you know, in the near term. And so we have to assess how that impacts our, you know, our thinking on things.
Yeah, it makes it worse because it seems almost that some people are thinking that the Guardians could raise the white flag on the season. Here, Ken Rosenthal of the New York Times and The Athletic. This was at 12:31 overnight. So you're going to hear this first in the city of Cleveland because we're local here. That he is hearing, said, quote, I'm hearing from Major League sources with less than three full days left to the conclusion of Major League MLB trade deadline at 6 on Thursday. The loss of Emmanuel Clase as part of Major League Baseball investigation and sports betting did not simply deprive the Guardians of their top chip. It ended any chance of the Guardians becoming a buyer and likely increased the possibility of the team trading right-hander Shane Bieber and perhaps left fielder Stephen Kwan. Now, when it comes to Shane Bieber, I raise my arms. I don't know what type of pitcher you're going to get back. Let's be serious. When it comes to Stephen Kwan, that's going to be a big nasty thing that a lot of people ain't going to be very happy about. And it again, it adds more fuel to the fire of what's going on. Now, again, I think when you and your I know you don't gamble, but your buddies who gamble, they don't care about any of this because, you know, they're gambling sickos, whatever. But I think to a Guardians fan, I mean, you're sick to your stomach. You're trying to talk yourself into thinking that they got a chance to even make the postseason here. And we've been holding on to this 30th ranked strength of schedule here. You come back from the All-Star break. You play good baseball right before the All-Star break. You come back from the All-Star break. You win two series. And then this goes on, and it's just one bleep storm after another.
The year's just been a mess, let's be honest. They've had three good weeks of baseball throughout the entire season. That's it. And they're under 500. There's so many teams, you know, that they would have to jump over to get to the postseason. You know, let's face it. I mean, what was it? 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I was calling it a lost season. We were pretty much kind of operating under the assumption that they were not going anywhere. And even with their surge, you know, yeah, we started to create a runway for given the schedule, given the pitching. But in the end, I mean, there's been nothing special about this team. There's been nothing that made you think this team, you know, had the capacity to go on a run. And now you add this in the clubhouse.
There just better not be anybody else.
And I imagine, you know, there's going to be more reporting done, and there's going to be a lot of questions about, well, it happens to be two players on the same team, happens to be two pitchers on the same team. Who knows what? Let's start asking everybody. Let's talk to clubhouse attendants. Let's talk to everybody, even if it was two lone actors, you know, operating on their own. You just know how people in today's conspiracy theory-ridden world where it dominates and populates every story and everything online, you know that people are just not going to believe it, right? They're just going to assume everybody's in on it. Everybody's in on it. I saw people going after Vogt. I saw people going after Dolan yesterday as if this was an orchestrated attempt. Oh,
there was the discipline of Vogt. Yeah, there was that.
And it's like, wait, so you think the manager is either...
Not me.
Either he knows about it and doesn't say anything, or he can't stop people from gambling. Like, I don't know how you could go after the manager based on anything we know just right now.
Here's Vogt on the situation.
It stinks. It hurts. Not something we saw coming, not something that we anticipate. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be hurting, but we're in this together. It's just another reminder that this game is fragile. This game is special. And just a reminder of we have to do this together. We're going to get through it, but it's going to be hard.
Unless I know that Vogt was working on some parlay with him. Yeah. I'm not going to put it on Stephen Vogt. They're grown men. He ain't no high school baseball coach here. But I do want to know from anybody, and it's been a tough season as it is, could this scandal, could it affect how you feel about the Cleveland Guardians? So there's a lot of wild speculation going around. That was manager Stephen Vogt. Before the game yesterday, a game that ended up imploding on them. They started late because of threatened weather. That's been the story of the summer. And Day ended up going right to hell. Maybe the worst day of his as a manager in professional baseball. I know he's only been a manager for a year and a half, but this is as bad as it gets. Listen, I'm not going to be naive. I know that you kind of, you didn't dump on it, but you're like, ah, you know, my buddies ain't making that big of a deal about it. They're joking about it. I just don't think that they're true Guardians fans. I think a guy like Owen is more of a the representation of the guys that go and stand there and are pretty upset by this whole thing. Because I think a general fan who does, you might not gamble on regular season baseball of all things, feels cheated. I think they feel cheated right now and they want answers and they can't get answers. And so when they don't get answers, and there could be plausible explanations for this that are quite ugly, by the way, there could be plausible explanations to this, but until there are, these people are going to be very upset about this. Because if you don't have answers about it, the only thing you can do is speculate, and you speculate usually to the worst possible things.
Yeah, I mean, you should absolutely feel cheated if it comes out that there were a bunch of things going on, and you could prove that, you know, last year during the ALCS run, you had a closer that was sabotaging games. Obviously, so far, the only thing we know is that there were two pitches for, you know, the other guy that wasn't even here last year, right? That's all that we know. We don't know anything about Class A. People are showing his first pitches as some definitive proof that he was
one against the Royals.
Was very, very wild. Well, I saw a whole montage.
I only saw the one.
There were 20 first pitches.
There's 22 that could be considered bad, and 11 of them were pretty blatantly into the ground.
Yes, yes. So I end up watching the catcher more than I watch.
You say, you tell me to wait. August 31st is what Antonetti said yesterday. My season's already screwed.
Yeah.
My season's screwed now. Bingo. The plans that I had for how to spend the rest of my summer, the nights where we were rescheduling football practices to go down to the ballpark, those are all screwed now because one guy, whether it was him or not for sure, it feels like he was selfish about himself and going to get more money than he's already making, made it about himself and not about what I thought it was about, everybody else in the ballpark whenever they go out to the game.
This is what this is going to turn into here. Because you ain't going to get an answer, so all you're going to get is angry.
Correct.
This is going to turn me into Art Bell real quick. Okay? I'm going to George Noryland here pretty quick here. I'm getting a lot of people, and I think they're totally justified. Well, what about Shohei Ohtani? What about Shohei Ohtani? What about Shohei Ohtani? Because I don't want to make the mistake of being naive and acting like I'm still a child here and not understanding that grown men make bad decisions. But also, I know that professional sports have only been in business with legalized gambling for a handful of years now, if that. I mean, in real sincerity, a handful of years. Mm-hmm. So I can't act like I'm naive and say that this probably has been going on certainly since Pete Rose and before. Of course. Just haven't heard about it because if they're not business partners, there's no reason for the rigorous checking. Now there's rigorous checking that goes on to this. But, and this is where conspiracy comes into this is here as well, is that I think a fan is totally justified when they bring up Ohtani in this, which I know is a different situation, I'm sure, but when they bring up Ohtani in this, go, wait a minute, Emmanuel Clase is a closer for the Guardians. Luis Ortiz is a starting pitcher, a young, relatively unknown starting pitcher for the Guardians. You have Shohei Ohtani, who's arguably the face of Major League Baseball and one of the faces of professional sports. So if we're all in business with each other here, the Ohtani thing somehow magically goes away. You find a fall guy for all this, allegedly, and then all of a sudden I'm losing my guys over the next month for who knows what they did, because you can't give me any more information. You can't give me any more updates about this. This is something we will shout about today and we probably won't know much more about it until the end of next month. If it stays this way, if we find out nobody else is involved, and what their statement is true. If it stays this way, we probably won't find out anything for over the next month. So now you're just going to sit there and wonder instead of being given answers. And when they continue to lose, especially if they start to trade away guys, like if they trade away Stephen Kwan, holy but Jesus, people are going to be upset about this. So you've only just begun. So the gamblers out there, yeah, the gamblers out there laugh. They laugh. They but don't care. But the hardcore fans really upset this
morning. But
the
reason I bring that up is because gamblers don't seem to be dissuaded from gambling, even when this gets caught. In fact,
gamblers don't care about anything. Anthony, well, sure, I care about the Cleveland Guardians. But, you know, I care about my summer.
I agree with Owen.
I get that. But Owen's also the only one who really thought they were going anywhere. Most Guardians fans didn't really think.
I'm the only one on this show or maybe on this station that thought they were going anywhere.
You were looking at the schedule. You were looking at
about them, Anthony.
You had a nice 3-week stretch of baseball, and you thought that was going to be evidence that they could turn things around. I don't think most Guardians fans really thought that was happening.
How far? I know you wanted your season to count for something far?
He's upset.
I don't know if I'm more disappointed in the Guardians today or I'm disappointed in you. Woo! It's supposed to be my sports talker in town.
Okay.
And you're telling me that didn't matter now.
Okay. No, I mean, I just I watched them play. I saw
their
record.
I had a week of Daryl Ryder telling me season didn't matter last week, and now I've got a week of telling me it didn't matter. But
yeah, that just seems to be...
I didn't know that.
I think, Owen, you got a little excited over a couple weeks, and you started to plan out, you know, your fall, and you wanted an October to remember when I think most logical people didn't think this team was really going anywhere.
That's awesome.
Awesome that you felt that way.
Let me say this.
Swept up in a nice little run.
I agree with you, Owen, because it doesn't.
Yeah, but you don't agree with them because you didn't think they were going anywhere.
But it doesn't justify getting in trouble for gambling now, does it?
Nobody said it
getting in trouble for gambling.
I don't know who you're screaming at. Nobody thought. Nobody thinks a bad team should be allowed to gamble. What the hell are you talking about?
Nobody thinks that, but you're kind of poo-pooing and going, they weren't going anywhere anyway. My buddies were texting me and laughing about it. That's the point of it. I don't mean to be yelling at 6:33, but I don't think you get the entire scope of things.
I don't know.
I think you're in a bubble now.
What don't I understand? They're a bad team, and now they got to a mediocre team, and now they got two guys that could be caught up in something that could be really bad. We don't know. Like I said, all we know is that baseball said there were two pitches that might have had some irregularities, and now we got a closer that was already, you know, had a terrible, terrible postseason last year. That's all we know. But I guess I don't understand.
I
don't understand. Owen just gets caught up in, hey, they won a game. They might win the World Series now. I never really thought that was happening.
They're going to win the World Series. That's a stupid thing to say.
Ken's just
if you
want to
take personal shots, then we'll get into personal shots.
It's not a personal shot.
I love that Owen gets delusional
about a team that was probably going nowhere.
Continue saying that stuff.
Well, I think most people agree with me. I do believe most people agree with me than you. Like, did anybody really think this team was going to be making a run?
But you caring about the team.
But when you say that, it almost makes it like you justify, like, hey, yeah, go ahead, throw the first pitch into the dirt. Like, it doesn't justify that.
Well, I have no control.
Make it sound that way.
Yeah, but Ken, I have no control. You have no control. Owen has no control over whether you've got rogue actors that are going to be doing, you know, throwaway pitch prop bets try to make some extra cash on the side. Or who knows what's going on back in the Dominican. Because, you know, you got a couple Dominican players here, and now people are jumping to conclusions about what could be happening back home and why these guys might be more susceptible than American-born players. That's all part of the deal, but we don't know anything because baseball's not telling us.
Well, that is the creepy, sick possible justification of this. I mean, good God, you don't want to necessarily go down that route right now, but it would probably be the best-case scenario in all this, as sick as it is, because we can toy around with that later. Back to the nature at hand. Think about their timeline. You go from ALCS last year, no moves. In fact, you subtract from the team. You have Tyler Freeman, of all people, who was the hero last night, who's batting 300. Now, I didn't see him batting 300 this year, and I don't think even the most ardent Tyler Freeman, I don't even know if his own family saw him batting 300 this year, for crying out loud. But
can we
still
say we won the Naylor trade now?
You got Josh Naylor traded, but then again, you still have his brother who had a 3-run home run and a loss last night, so even that doesn't make it count. You have this, not dismantling, but you subtract from the team. You're floating, if at best. Your young pitchers are not of the ilk you thought they were going to be. I mean, you have no power whatsoever. You have no run manufacturing whatsoever. It's almost, if you put up anything more than a one in a column, you make it, it's almost like you did it by accident. The other team had to boot around the ball. I mean, this season has been frustrating from the moment the ALCS ended until right now. This is a culmination of it all. It's not just this. If they were in first place, we'd be freaking out going, oh my God, this could really hurt them. It's not. It's just the latest. I mean, this is Brownsian here, man. This is for a organization that is responsible, for an organization that's going, you know, they do things the right way. This is greasy stuff.
You can't blame the organization for this, though, right?
But it's still a representation of the organization. They play for him. They answer him. I'm not blaming Paul Dolan or Stephen Vogt personally.
So what, are you going to ask Antonetti, why didn't you know this was going on?
No. I'm not asking that. But you're going to tell me that a general fan ain't sitting there thinking less of the Guardians today. You're being naive. You're lying to yourself. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm
that's
not,
the real world of professional sports
I
fandom.
Think, I mean, unless this, you want to talk about a real scandal, if the organization actually did know and they were a part of this, which of course I don't think is the case at all.
Of course.
I do think it is pretty silly to be going after Vogt and the organization today.
But
is anybody doing that? Like, I don't put a lot of credence or credibility behind it.
I'd love to ask the organization why they don't employ somebody to keep this from happening, or somebody that can at least keep a watchful eye over things like this happening, but they can't even employ an outfielder that'll hit over 200.
And I think that is the problem. You are trying to think logically, but I don't think you know how the general fan feels. And for the general fan, this is another log on a very ugly fire. That's how I feel about it. You want the last word on this issue?
No.
I mean, you can have it.
I saw people going after Vogt and the organization yesterday over this, and I'm like, listen.
Then you have to understand how big of a deal it is.
They can't possibly think that Antonetti, Chernoff directed some sort, like, get you guys are like lost in conspiracy world online because you're eternally online 24/7.
They don't have any information.
That's pretty clear that these guys, they wouldn't put their entire storied careers at risk over that.
But that's the entire point of it, is they're angry about things that happened before, and now this is just the latest in it. And so they tend to, I'm sure there's no love lost or any different blame on anything there. It's just added on to it. And the worst part about it is that they have no information, and they're not going to have any information because this will go quiet after today. And so if they don't have any new information, they're just going to get angry about it. Does Kevin Stefanski have to talk to the vets before he starts anyone but Joe Flacco? What was worse news yesterday for Kenny Pickett? His injury news, which we're still unclear about on our side, or that Shedeur Sanders passed so well? I'm not going to share the stats because I'm not doing camp stats. That ain't happening.
But wait a second.
I'm not doing it.
When the stats are so impeccable, Kenny, it is impossible to ignore them,
told numbers never lie.
I'm not getting into this. No, because camp stats, guys, I have no problem getting in the gutter, but even I'm not going to get that deep. I don't prepare. I don't try to say I'm better than anybody else because I'm not.
What if the stat that I would share with you is, I saw a montage put together, thank you, Cam Justice, Channel 5. I watched a montage of Shedeur Sanders' throws.
She's killing it.
Great job. What if I told you the stat, zero, as in zero balls hit the ground? That's something football guys like to talk about, right? I heard Albert Breer was talking about Cincinnati and how the Bengals, they're going to have an all-time offense this year, Breer was saying. He said they've had the least amount of injuries on the offensive side. They've had cohesiveness. There's nobody looking for a contract on the offense. They're all together. And he said, what I noticed when I was in Cincinnati is that the balls were not hitting the ground. Well, I watched that. I watched that highlight package from Shedeur Sanders. The ball, Kenny, did not hit the ground. Is that a stat? Zero balls hitting the ground? Will you take that one into consideration? Does that work out for you?
It's not a stat. It's something you just are glad that didn't happen.
I'm saying a zero. If I had my my paper out. Kenny, you keep papers all the time.
I do have papers all over the place.
And if on
one and a quarters,
my paper,
one and a half.
Well, what sucks for me is I'm left-handed. I smudge all over. I never really could get a fix on it. They did have spiral notebooks for left-handers, but I never could afford them. They were a little more expensive than the other ones.
They have spiral notebooks for lefties?
Oh, yeah.
I never even knew they did.
And then you wouldn't smudge as you were writing. Either way,
I got the smudges.
If on my paper I wrote balls that hit the ground, and then there's a number in front of it, and I wrote zero, that's a stat.
I'm not counting it as a stat.
Oh, come on.
No.
Why are you trying to downplay Shador?
I'm just going to say, if he did well, I'm just going to say he did well. That's not downplaying Shador. That's downplaying the stupidity of putting up stats and saying, oh, he was this for this, and he threw this many touchdowns and this many interceptions. You don't know what they were trying to get out of the drill.
Did you get a passer rating?
I don't know. I had a bunch of idiots in Pittsburgh yesterday or last week saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers threw that pick on purpose. Oh, he did he? Is this how we started off? Now he threw that stupid interception on purpose. I don't know what it is. Let's just admit we don't know what we're looking at.
Wait, you didn't do an adjusted EPA or anything based on the throws yesterday?
Not in camp. No.
Oh,
no.
Boy.
What, that doesn't mean I'm not a football guy. Either way. Moving on. Nevertheless, how about that? Albert Breer was on yesterday. You mentioned Albert Breer. He was on yesterday afternoon speaking to Kenny Pickett. What the Kenny Pickett injury means for that Browns quarterback decision. I think he may disagree with something I was saying yesterday. Go ahead.
I mean, I think it means Joe Flacco will probably get a few more reps than he has, and like help him make up a little bit for the time that he seeded things in the spring. And then, you know, Dylan Gabriel, I think, maybe gets a few more looks in the first team. That would be my guess. I only think it's going to be about a week. So, you know, the hamstring can linger, and I guess there's still some uncertainty there. But I don't think it's a long-term thing. At least I don't think the Browns see it that way.
He did. They didn't share any of the MRI information, which that always makes you a little nervous. It's the same thing as like, oh, they're going to get a second opinion. You go, oh, God, because no one gets a second opinion over good news. That they wouldn't share much, but it's like, okay, fine. Breer, does Pickett still have a shot to win that starting job? Here's Albert.
I think Kenny does. Like right now, to me, I'd be surprised if it wasn't one of the two veterans. I think you guys are probably with me on that, right? And I think like Flacco's very steady, and they know what they're getting with Joe. There's not a good reason to go with Joe. The one thing with Kenny is like if Kenny can get up to like level ground with Joe as far as the knowledge of the offense, being able to operate the whole thing, prevent turnovers, all that. Like Kenny does bring a running element that I don't think any of the other three guys do. Dylan's probably closest. But if you are shaky about your offensive line at all, could wind up being pretty important.
Yeah, I think that Albert Breer is certainly right about that, about the offensive line and all the other things. Like, that's why it's just like, hey, let's, if Kenny's going to be out for any modicum of time and they're going to reevaluate next week, so they say it's day to day. I mean, day to day can turn into 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, if you're out from the offense for that long, then it's like, okay, let's just put Joe in there.
Especially
like, I'm not trying to deny Kenny Pickett the chance. This is the most open job in the NFL. I'm open-minded to anything. I know that people are going, you hate Kenny Pickett. I don't hate Kenny Pickett. But damn it, if you're going to lose that much time, it's like, let's go with the 40-year-old veteran.
And also, just considering what's hard for Pickett is the way he plays the game, right? The one bonus you're supposed to get from Kenny Pickett is that he can kind of take off, right? That he...
Yeah.
His legs can be another dimension to that offense. And if he is coming up lame already with, you know, that situation that, as we always note out, can be touch and go for a while and he's not being evaluated for another week, just puts him behind the eight ball. I know some people yesterday were kind of poo-pooing saying, no, it's still day-to-day. It's still day-to-day. And people that have talked to that have talked behind the scenes to the Browns, you know, they've been saying day-to-day, but... You know, the reevaluated thing in a week, it just makes me a little bit nervous.
A hamstring injury should make anybody somewhat nervous because it could be a lingering thing. Or, I mean, like Dak Prescott had to get surgery on it.
Well, they had a little bit of a back and forth with Kevin yesterday. Here's about 30 seconds of that. And they try to get into it. He tries to clear it all up.
It happened at the end of practice there a couple days ago. Felt something. So we'll just treat it, you know, for any player. You're disappointed when you can't be out there with any injury, but he'll be fine. He'll rehab. He'll get back out very quickly.
Did he have a timeline?
I don't have a timeline. With something like this, we'll see how it goes. But his mindset, my mindset, will just go day to day.
Did he have an MRI on it or anything?
Yes.
Did he really tear anything?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into specifics on the injuries other than to tell you he's going to do everything in his power to get back ASAP.
I'd assume as much he would.
Yeah, but just the fact that normally if an MRI is fine, there's no tears, there's no nothing. Normally they just say that.
Mm-hmm. But can I share with you?
Yeah.
From what we were saying yesterday, did Shador Sanders, and you're saying 9 for 9, I ain't going to use any stats. Did he or did he not look good yesterday?
I thought two throws in particular looked awesome. They looked like special throws. And I understand guys aren't sacking them. They're not coming. One of them, there was a dispute between yesterday, Nick Wilson and Fedor was in for Jonathan, and they were debating whether or not he would have been sacked. And then
Daniel Oyafusi was the tiebreaker.
Said, yeah, I would have called it a sack. He would not have gotten that off in a real game. Either way, the throw was perfect. I haven't seen the special throw, if that's a category, the special throws. Like Flacco, yesterday I saw him rifling balls around. Some of them didn't touch any receivers. That could be on the receiver. You just don't know,
but this
right?
This is it.
Right? They're working on stuff.
But this is it. This is the entire thing of it. We said it all day yesterday. Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders, now that they're going to have a few more reps, they have to make the most of it.
Yes.
So Shador Sanders did what he was supposed to do yesterday and made the most of the opportunity that was presented to him because he had a few more reps without Kenny Pickett there and obviously made the most of the day.
I did want to ask you about that, though.
Go ahead.
Of the 9 throws that I saw, 7 of them were just basically on the line of scrimmage, 5 yards or under.
Mm-hmm.
And now, a rookie trying to, I don't know, show off's not the right word at all. Actually, it's a wrong word. To make sure that they're not turning the ball over, putting the ball in harm's way, you would think, okay, that would be something a coach would like to see out of their young player. But yet I'm sitting there going, I want to see you test it. I want to see you test these DBs. I want to see you put these receivers out there in positions to make plays because they're trying to make a football team. Like, I want to see more of that. I get why a player would want to play it safe, especially with how jumbled up these guys are. But I'm like, man, let me see your special talents. On the 2 plays where he showed off his special talents, amazing. Looked really nice.